Good evening, everybody. It's quite an auspicious night tonight. Mainly, I think it's fairly important. One of the council's greatest friends, supporters, and advisors. His advisors all over his times as a councillor and as a leader. Could I call upon on the agenda item on leader to introduce this article of service?
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, the freedom of the borough is not given very often. It's the highest honour that the borough staff can bestow. And I think no one deserves this more than Alderman Jack Kemp. There were just some highlights of what Alderman Kemp's service has been like in the last 50 years. We start off with that. Over 50 years as a council for the Colton Ward, this will never be better now. Leader of the council, not once, but twice. Mayor of the borough from 1989-90. Leader of the Labour group, that's the easy job. Leader of the Labour group, sat on the council for many years. Council representative on many outside bodies. Chair of many committees. And upon retirement from the council, was made an honorary alderman of the borough. Friend and mentor to many new councillors over the years, including myself. And there is so much more what we've only got the time we have. Mr. Mayor, I think it's probably appropriate that I actually read what's on the scroll that you're going to present to Alderman Kemp. And it says, at a meeting of the council, the Borough of Stafford, specially convened on Tuesday, 14th of April 2026, the Mayor and councillors resolved unanimously that the council, in pursuance of section 249 of the Local Government Act 1972, grant to Alderman Jack Kemp the freedom of the Borough of Stafford, in recognition of his 50 years as a member and dedicated service to the residents of Stafford Borough, and that he be presented with this address recording his admission as a freeman of the Borough of Stafford. Mr. Mayor, can I ask you to present Alderman Kemp with the Freedom of the Borough scroll and invite him to sign the Freedom Book, from the Borough. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. We'll do the presentation of the scroll. Jack, on behalf of all of your fellow councillors and friends,
thank you very much.
Well done. And Jack does assure me he wants to borrow some sheep to drive.
You could have mine. You've got mine anyway. You've got mine coming anyway. So it's up to you.
Friend, he's not here because I forgot to invite him. and I'm John Brigham. And if you think Will, where are you? If you think Will takes pulled your leg once or twice, John Brigham was very good at it. But he was a special friend to me. I must thank the past and present members of the council for their support over the 50 years. And a number of my children became friends, even if they did sit on the other side of the chamber. And I'll mention a few of them in a moment. I'd like to thank Aidan for his kind words. And my mentors long ago, Len James, Bill Simpson, and Auntie Iris Mosley. I remember having to appear in front of Mr. Humphreys for making comments about the staff. I was told you're not supposed to do that. You can make comments about the other side. And it was like going to see the headmaster. And I must remember with thanks to a man called Bagger Tagger. Now, Bagger Tagger was a Sikh, and he was possibly the first Sikh that had ever served on this council. And he was elected in 1972 or thereabouts. And when the council was reorganised, all the councils were reorganised at that time, he asked me if I would go because I'd worked deliberately for him. He asked me if I would join him in being a double. The double councillors for Covent Ward. And we actually won. And one of the strangest things that Trevor Reeves, many of you remember Trevor Reeves, he in actual fact had been the councillor, or he thought he was going to be the councillor at that occasion. But we actually won the election. But strangely enough, Trevor and I became very good friends. Except one occasion, as the mayor, I was able to stand up and say to him, "Would you please sit down?" And of course, it would be in good part. I have to thank my children, my son and daughter, and they've put up with me as being a councillor for that 50 years in particular, and my late wife's family, Beryl's children, who also had the problem of a stepfather who was often out of meetings when maybe he should have been told occasion. And finally, Mr. Mayor, I must mention Alan Perkins and Ray Sutherland. Those two councillors who sat across that side of the chamber worked alongside me at Stafford and Wall Housing Association. Three of us, and there was a chap called Ted Stone. He was also involved. And of course, we had to really follow up. We were instructed to settle the Housing Association. And where's Tony Pierce? Tony was supposed to go on that particular association committee, and he declined, and I ended up having to do that job. But it was a good experience. And while I talk about experience, I mentioned to the mayor before, for a moment or two ago, about whether he was a parish councillor of Treswell. And I can tell you now that, in actual fact, Alan Perkins, Ray Sutherland and I were parachuted in to Treswell as the parish council. Because the most real members of the council had resigned. And this council had to find three people to do the job as parish council. So not only was I a borough council, I was for a year parish council, which is most unusual. So, I've done a couple before where I asked Mr.
Yes, of course.
My country. And thank you, Mr. Mayor, and the Chief Executive. I'm not saying. And there are one or two others. James sitting here, always had a good smile. And of course, the Deputy Mayor is there, but where's the other one? Where's the other Deputy Mayor? Oh, he's on the back seat. He carried that banner for a long, long time. And with that, Mr. Mayor, thank you very much. And I will now take my seat.
Angela was a borough councillor for 30 years. In that time, she helped many people with their problems and concerns, chaired committees, and worked the scrutiny system brilliantly. And of course, she was mayor of the borough in 2013-14. She represented the Manor Ward, where she lived, worked as a teacher, and raised her family. She really was a round peg in a round hole, the perfect council for the ward. She was very well respected in the area, and within the outside bodies in which she worked, and organisations like Bereavements and Loss, which are known very close to her heart. I highly valued Angela's wise counsel and the effortless way she would put a point across. She knew how local government worked and used her knowledge to get the best services possible for her constituents and the borough as a whole. She was a good friend and someone you could always rely on for help, even if she thought some ideas were mad, which in my case was quite often. At this point, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to mention Angela's husband, John, who sadly passed away a few weeks after her. Many of us attended their joint funeral. John, although not a member of the council, was a good friend, an active friend in it, and he will be missed. I will miss Angela, as I'm sure we'll still hear that strong Scottish accent from the back bench in our heads for many years to come. Sadly, Mr. Mayor, we will not see her like again. Those of us who knew her will always remember her warmth, loyalty, common sense, and above all, friendship. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Can I call Sharon Burt, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening, colleagues. I'd like to add to the tribute from the leader, but in two parts, because I have something from Angela. That I served with Angela for 16 of her 30 years, and on a variety of committees, including the almshouses, and those committees she was focused on, she was really committed to. But Angela was dedicated, widely respected, long-serving. She was an old-school councillor, of which, as the leader indicated, there aren't any of those coming along. For some, they would have seen Angela as being feisty and fearsome. But she was happy to speak her mind, and her input was always well-meant and well-meaning, and was really useful in terms of challenging some of the norms. But the two instances that always come to my mind from this chamber were of an exchange with her and Frank Finlay, with Angela with her Scottish brogue and Frank with his Irish lilt. And between the two of them, they struggled to understand each other. And each was accusing the other of being highly disrespectful when neither of them had heard each other's conversation. And it was just so amusing and ironic. And the other one that I remember fondly is of Ken Williamson and Angela. And Angela would always take on anyone she felt needed to be reprimanded. And often when Ken gave his budget speeches, I felt that he went into being very softly spoken. So you struggled to hear what he was saying. And Angela wanted to take exception to this. She asked him to speak up and to speak in English, which I thought was rather ironic given her Scottish background. But she will be fondly remembered, but equally widely missed. If I can read Anne Edgeler's, Councillor Anne Edgeler's tribute, I'd be grateful, please, Mr. Mayor. Anne writes as follows: "One brave councillor who cared deeply about the residents she represented, along with that wonderful deep Scottish accent. Thank you, Angela, for giving me some wonderful memories which I will treasure. The way you chaired the licensing committee with your no-nonsense attitude. When I first got elected in 1999, Angela and I were doing our first aid training together, rolling around on the Craddock Room floor, trying to revive one another from suffering heart failure, not doing a very good job because we couldn't stop laughing. Angela, you will be well and truly missed. May God bless you, Angela, and keep you in his loving care. Thank you, Mr. Mann."
Thank you. Could I call next Anne Hobbs? Are you okay?
Yeah. Angela was a formidable, tenacious woman. Those who worked alongside her will remember her mischievous sense of humour, the quick wit that could light up a serious meeting, and the genuine warmth she presented to allies and opponents alike. To her children and her grandchildren, thank you for sharing her. She fought her final illness with the exact same courage and determination that she brought to every battle she fought for her constituents. She was a secret weapon on the doorstep because of all the children she had taught in Manor, who still remembered her and respected her and gave her their vote. She leaves a legacy that will live on in Manor Ward in Stafford. And I will miss her, as she was fun and very supportive, but especially because at the end of all council meetings, she'd say to me, "Come on, let's go to the pub."
Thank you. Councillor, would you like to speak?
Yes.
Did you not hear?
No, I didn't, sorry.
Who would you like to speak?
Most definitely. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's strange, isn't it, when you start to hear everyone's tributes to Angela. With Councillor Kirk talking about Angela questioning her English, and I remember her remonstrating with someone across the chamber and saying, "Am I not speaking English?" And I think we all thought, no. But it's a privilege, though a very sad one, to pay tribute to Angela. She was a remarkable woman who devoted her life to serving others. And before entering local politics, she spent many years as a teacher at Rising Brook. The measure of the impact she had on the young people can be seen in the countless tributes shared after her death. Hundreds of former pupils spoke of her online, remembering her as a strict teacher, but also as a fair, caring, and inspiring one. They spoke with great affection and gratitude, a testament to the difference she made in their lives. Teaching was never just a profession for Angela, it was part of who she was. And when she retired from the classroom, she didn't retire from caring about people. Instead, she brought that same compassion, dedication, and sense of duty into public service through our council. She was a fierce advocate for her residents. She fought tirelessly for what she believed in and never hesitated to stand up for the people she represented. She had very strong convictions and was never afraid to make her voice heard when she felt something was important. If Angela was on your side, you knew you had someone who would work relentlessly on your behalf. On a personal note, I also enjoyed our conversations. Angela was a proud Scot, and I must admit that when I first got to know her, her accent was so strong that I sometimes struggled to understand what she was saying. But what always came across clearly was her warmth, her passion, her determination, and her great sense of humour. She was a woman of immense strength. She showed us every day that public service is not simply about attending meetings or making decisions. It's about understanding people, caring deeply about your community, and working tirelessly to improve the lives of others. Her legacy will live on not only in the community she served, but also in the lives of the many students, residents, colleagues, friends and family members she touched throughout her life. Angela will be deeply missed in this chamber, but she will not be forgotten. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Could I call Councillor Cook, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I want to focus on Angela's moral compass, because she had one, and it was a strong one. Angela knew what was just and what was unjust. She knew what was good and bad. She knew right from wrong. And she knew her own mind, which actually guided her in what she was convinced was the right direction. She was a religious person, Mr. Mann, and all this came from her strong religious beliefs in the Catholic Church, and that was shared by John, her husband. I actually remember on one occasion early on in my acquaintance with Angela, I made a slightly flippant remark about a particular saint, and I was rewarded with a basilisk stare of very severe proportions, and I could feel myself actually turning to stone. Luckily, it didn't quite happen. Someone took compassion on me, but I made sure I didn't make that same mistake again in Angela's presence. But it was that moral compass that guided her philosophy, that guided her actions, that guided her politics. And I think we're all grateful for that. Thank you, Mr. Mann.
Thank you. And could I ask the McNaughton to say a few words? You have to stop, or you've got to stop.
Thank you. Angela was very firm and wouldn't tolerate his full rally, but she was immensely fair. She was jealous of both her time and her knowledge. May have taken Angela out of teaching, but you couldn't take a teacher out of Angela. All the requirements for you to have discipline, as many of us will have known in any meeting committee with her. And her infamous stare, she stepped out of line. At one meeting we were attending together, someone referred to Angela as an English teacher. And they were firmly put back to their place. And she corrected them and informed us all she was not an English teacher, but a teacher of English. Thank her, mentor, more importantly.
Thank you, Dee. Could we have Councillor Pearce, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Angela was a councillor that I always admired. If I had to choose three words to sum up her qualities, they would be courageous, compassionate, and articulate. I'll be able to Scottish accent. She was courageous because she would always speak her mind. Didn't care who it was, didn't really care if it caused offence, although she was always respectful, but she was always determined to make her view clear, and that's, I guess, where being articulate comes in. As I say, she had a strong accent, but everyone fully understood everything she said. And compassionate, because I know that she cared deeply for the people she represented. I think we should all have great admiration for the former and the work she did.
Thank you. I've got no other speakers. I would just like to say myself that through my 20 plus years as a councillor, I've cross-swords with Angela, and she's one of those strong women that won't back down when she thinks she's right. She was an honest councillor, and it was obvious she was always there for the residents. You've got a light on there, so I want to say something.
Sorry.
Okay, so God bless. Right, we'll move on. on to Mayor's announcements, and again, a sad one. We've got to announce the passing of former councillor Kenneth Farrington-Brown. Could we please stand just for 1 minute?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It was too late to go on to a council agenda, but I wanted to say a few words regarding what happened last week with the organisation. It's a very brief statement, and obviously we'll go into more detail as time goes by. I'm pleased to report to members that the submission by Stafford Borough Council, East Staffordshire Borough Council, and Cannock Chase District Council was accepted by the government in full last week. I'm also pleased to inform you that Stafford Borough Council's boundaries will remain as they are now, and I know that was a concern to many of us, so that's excellent news. It is of course very sad that over 50 years Stafford Borough Council has been replaced. Many of us would like to see it continue. But the government has ruled that we have been abolished, and the new South Unitary Authority will now replace us as the best option for providing vital services to the public of our borough. There is much to do for our professional officers over the next 18 months. Members will be kept fully informed as to progress. I fully expect members' briefing events in the not too distant future, where all questions can be asked and answered in detail. Elections for the new authority will be held in May 27th. And it will shadow Stafford Borough Council until vesting day on May 28th. There will be no elections for Stafford Borough Council in May 27th, but the council will be extended by 1 year to May 28th. Members will be kept fully informed of any developments as we go along on this road. I would just like to make a personal thank you, Mr. Mayor, to everybody in this chamber on all sides for supporting the submission that went through. It was very strong that the whole council, made it strong that the whole council supported it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Leader. We'll move on to item number 7, councillor session. Sorry, apologies. Public question time. There's no questions. I'll move on to the council session, and there's a question from Councillor Rousseau.
Thanks, Robert. The work of voluntary organisations within the Borough of Dewey is incredibly important. And the small amount of funding which the council provides to them is an important part of that. As the question says, last year the council approved a new scheme for providing financial support to volunteering community groups, and I just asked the cabinet member for community for an update how the new scheme has worked, what's better in, what changes are taking place in terms of the support the funding is providing, and if there are any plans to make amendments for the next round of funding. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Upsell. So the new grant scheme was introduced to make sure that council funding is awarded in a way that's fair, transparent and focused on achieving the best outcomes for staff for a resident and those applying for funding. We increased the annual funding available from £130,250 to £141,370. With a built-in annual uplift. This opened the process to a wider range of organisations through a competitive application system with a clear assessment criteria. This brings all grant funding into a single borough-wide framework using a formal assessment process, meaning every applicant is assessed equally. The new scheme has worked well in that the level of interest demonstrated that this approach was successful and the right thing to do. The applications totaled over 241,000 against the available budget of 141,000. This shows both the demand for funding and the strong engagement from the voluntary community and social enterprise sector. All applications were assessed against published criteria, with funding decisions based on evidence of local need, expected impact, organisational capability and value for money. This has moved us away from the historic funding arrangements and towards a more outcome-focused approach. The funded organisations are now providing regular monitoring information to us and early indications of positive. I'm afraid it's too soon yet to make judgment on the overall impact of the scheme, but a full evaluation will be undertaken at the end of the year, and our plans will be put forward then for the next funding round. Overall, the scheme appears to be delivering its intended aims of improving transparency, accountability and fairness, while broadening access to funding and ensuring that council investment delivers value for our residents. The organisations who were funded were as follows: the Citizens Advice, 60,000, the Douglas Macmillan, 2,500, Catherine House, 3,500, the Musical Theatre Stafford, 7,500, Rising Brook Baptist Church, £10,674, Stafford Community Food Distribution Hut, £7,973, Stafford District Arts Council, £10,000, the Staffordshire Women's Aid, £15,000, Support Staffordshire, £6,262, Community Foundation for Staffordshire, £17,961, the Street Casters, £9,600, and the Right Stuff, £21,937.80. And I think the Borough Council have done very well in scrutinising all the application forms and coming to the conclusion that they did to award the funding. Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Councillor.
Councillor
Russell, do you want a supplementary question? No.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for that expose, and you're right, the work of the voluntary sector is huge and in supporting us and our residents, us as a borough and our residents. Thank you also for your commitment to maintaining with an uplift the budget for the forthcoming financial year and the work you're doing to ensure that it's money well spent. We spoke a minute ago about local government reorganisation. There is a real risk that there is a cliff edge Will you commit to fight to make sure that there is ongoing funding into the voluntary sector with the changes in local government reorganisation, and to make sure that there isn't this cliff edge in funding, because that funding is vital for the voluntary sector, and there is a real risk that in the melee of local government reorganisation it gets lost.
Do you want to respond?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I'm sure we will all take our part in fighting for funding for the voluntary sector. I think it's indicative of the modern day that we've come to rely on so many voluntary organisations. They are the backbone of the borough. So yes, Councillor Cook, we will. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We've got item number 8. We haven't any notice of motion. We now move on to item number 9, which is Code of Governance and Annual Code of Governance Statement. We will have to vote on this, and I understand Councillor Cook is going to say a few words on it.
Just a few.
If I'm interested, just say one or two things as Mr. Mayor. I was under the impression that as I presented this report at Cabinet, I would need to present the report at Council. And as a result of that, I had actually prepared a speech of Gladstonian length for your edification. Unfortunately for me, perhaps fortunately for you, Councillor Mason actually approached me before this meeting and said that he'd been handed a briefing paper by an officer to give that speech, not of Gladstonian length, I might add, that he had. And I said, well, in your capacity as chair of Audit and Accounts Committee, and he agreed. And I think there is a lot to be said for that, actually, Mr. Mayor, because the Audit and Accounts Committee are going to have a most important part in all of this, and also the fact that as a cabinet member for the controlling groups for resources, I really should have some distance between myself and the Audit and Accounts Committee. So I have no problems with Councillor Mason actually taking centre stage now. Thank you very much.
Before we just move on, I presume you were talking about Councillor James.
Yes.
I always have amnesia about names.
It's a sign of the time. We're all suffering from it. Could I ask Councillor James if you would like to say a few words on this, and possibly
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Cook. The Code of Governance is an important document setting out the Council's governance framework. The Code has been updated to reflect the updated guidance from CIPRA and from SONENS. The seven principles of governance recommended by CIPRA and SONENS have not changed, but the updated Code now adapts them in full rather than combining two of them. Minor changes have been made to the arrangements that the Council has in place to deliver each of those principles. The only other change of note is that in the reporting arrangements for the production of the annual governance statement, in future this will be reported to full Council as part of an annual report on the work of the Audit and Governance Committee. For this year, members can find the annual governance statement in the report contained in the updated Code of Governance. The Audit and Governance Committee have considered the updated Code of Governance and recommend to the Council that it be approved.
No one else has indicated, so have we a seconder? Councillor Flynn. And those in favour? Thank you very much. anyone to move this report?
Areas where we want further detail at subsequent meetings, for instance. particularly to Doug Lux, who's picked up this task and finished, and will be reporting in the autumn because he's done a tremendous job. So thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Can we have the votes on the proposal, please? Those in favour? Unanimous, thank you. And item number 11 is any item referred from the report, and there are none, so we sadly put
Mr. Mayor, there was one small item that we missed out on the announcements. We moved on a little bit quicker. Is it appropriate to do it then? It's the most important subject of the whole evening, I have to say. Football. Hey! We talk seriously now. Would the council like me to write to the FA congratulating the England football team on their performance in the World Cup? Do you think that would be a good idea, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
That's very much a decision for the council, but I think it's an excellent idea and perhaps a strongly worded letter to the Argentinians.
I said it's one of the more pleasurable letters I've written. I'll write it.
Thank you for throwing the letter ball there, which was probably missed, but it was a strange tournament. I'm not particularly a football fan, but it seems that bring out some strange decisions and actions from people like Donald, whatever his name is. That's it. And sadly, come to the end of another meeting. Oh, we have Councillor Cook. Cooper. You have to sit next to Councillor Mason. Did you want to speak?
Council's base member, Mr. Scott Stanley, the wish of the Mayor of Pastor, has remarked when he retires from Council's base.